Ragged Edge Radio broadcast here on a Tuesday night. Looking at one of the reports out of the UK, and it has, here's the title. We can't prove sex with children doesn't harm them, says labor-linked NCCL. This is pretty damaging overall. But I take a look at what it says. Listen to these words. By the group, quote, it says, where both parties are age 10 or over but under 14, a consenting sexual act should not be an offense. As the age of consent is arbitrary, we propose an overlap of 2 years on either side of the age 14. So it's all about lowering the age on the same webpage. Now, here's some of the stuff we talked about when we mentioned sexual decadence in The End of Man. They have another picture here of a man to the left, top left of this. It's the www.express.co.uk news. And pedophile taunts angry parents with shouts about bring your children to him. Now, here's a picture of him. There he is, bold and arrogant. Next to that individual, care worker jailed for string of sickening sex attacks on others. We look to the right of that. Sick ISIS makes rape a part of religion as Quran encourages it. And then you have human trafficking gang sold women to immigrants. And then, major, again, just stories all across the board. Here's what I want to get to today with the topic of the day. This goes back a couple of years, but it's been put out again and again. Matter of fact, if you just kind of search it out, Mexican police, they're going to turn to voodoo. Mexican police are turning to Palo, voodoo, to priestesses and priests in Mexico to gain powers of protection concerning the drug lords and all the powers that are being used. Now, I've said this. I'm not sure we really believe. No doubt in many of the towns in Mexico, and we have listeners in Mexico, blessings to you. But here again is a story of the police themselves going to practitioners to give them amulets, to do rituals, to do things of power. We have no idea really here in the U.S. and around the world to the depths of the human sacrifice. Not all of the 100,000 dead in the drug wars, the drug lord wars and all the rest, were just simply gruesome murders. Now they're finding out more and more. The feds have found this out also, that many of those are human sacrifices. Again, to draw the powers, they're seeking to couple on-hands presence, power of the demons in the drug trade, both in its promotion and its protection. Drug lords, demons, to protect them from being caught. Do we understand how deeply and broad this is a spiritual war? It really is. Not flesh and blood, as the scripture says, but against the powers and principalities. Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast on this Tuesday night. Glad to be with you. Glad to say this to you tonight. Nobody loves you like God does. Nobody knows you better. Nobody desires your life like the God of heaven. And this is the Savior that gave his life on the cross that can help you in the daily things of life. Wow, do we know that in the last 8 months? I look over the last 8 months of my life and I think, what an absolute whirlwind, unbelievable whirlwind. And yet God brings peace, God opens doors, God brings a destructive blow to the work of Satan and what he tries to do. Truly, 1 John 5 tells us that our Savior himself protects us from the evil one. Now, yesterday I did kind of a synopsis over some of the past, the conferences, the rest, some of the big things coming up for September. Everybody's touting September for a lot of different reasons. But again, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to touch on them today and give you, I think, eight here today? Let me take a look. We're going to look at, eight different effects real demonic powers can have. Now, when I do this today, I'm very sure some folks are going to say, well, that's happening to me. And I want you to know that Jesus brought a destruction to the dark side, and this they know very well. And those who are the practitioners that sometimes recon the show and so forth, they also know this too. So we pray by the name of the Lord Jesus, my Savior, whom I know. and the authority that he gives. And we pray in acknowledging the blood of the Lamb and the cross that God would do extraordinary miracles to deliver those listening today or listening later by the archives. Welcome from around the world. So many friends that we have around the world. Somebody asked me today some of the things we're going to be doing. And I said, well, we got this conference and that conference and this conference. And we still have yet to get to Russia and Belgium and Croatia. All three are on our sites. It's just a matter of time and the providential doors that God will give us, let alone the many different cities we are around here. We're down south of here on Sunday. Excuse me. We will be, well, we're going to be around a number of cities here in Ohio, into Pennsylvania coming up shortly. We're also going to go back to the coffee shop in Pennsylvania where the dear owner had finally gave her life to Christ coming out of human trafficking. Now, we'll give you all the details of that later on because we're going to see about doing a public baptism. We're going to rent a baptism tank, do it on the outside right there on the streets in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So we'll give you the details on that because we want you to show up. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to take teams in to do some witnessing, and we're going to see what happens there. We got to get it all nailed down first. That's going to be, well, listen, as God opens the doors, you keep us in your prayers. And let me just mention this today. We don't do it very often. Remember us in support. Thank you for those that do. We apologize if you haven't gotten a thank you letter yet. We're still getting all those out. And we want you to know that we're grateful, grateful, grateful for your kindness. And you can invest. We had somebody do this a couple of, almost 2 months ago now. An enormous help. I mean, just, I say sometimes out of nowhere, but out of the hand of God. So my commitment and my leading is just ask the Lord. Just keep seeking the Lord. We mention it from time to time. We try to only take an average of about 2 to 5 seconds daily for the entire week. Sometimes not at all. I just want you to know that's not the, we don't want to waste, I don't want to say waste, but take all the time or much of the time. That's why we don't have all the commercials. So just put us in prayer and remember us in support on the shatterthedarkness.net website. And most of all of our websites, there's a little support tab. Blessings, thank you. Tonight, as we get into this, I want you to know, too, that we are probably about 330 registrations. They're going to be jumping up now these last 3.5 weeks on our way to Newark, Ohio, for the Nephilim Mounds number 3. The last two sold out completely. God has done some great work saving people, ministering to people. And this year, L.A. Marzulli and then Gary Stearman, myself with new content, and also Chief Joseph from the Tano Tribe. What do the native Indians say about the Nephilim? You're going to hear something I don't think has really been put out well at all or honored well at all. That's going to happen down in Newark. The venue is much larger. We will so go to NephilimMounds3.com. Register. Look at the promo video that a friend of ours, Josh, did for us. And take a look at that. Take a look at the entire website. Pray about it. And if you're going to be coming, and if you're listening now and you've already registered, we're asking you to make this a serious, I mean, faith-filled, powerful prayer, intercession time. Just really saturate the entire conference prior to, during, and right afterwards. Just pour out your prayers over all of it for God to do a great work in Newark, Ohio. It's interesting that as we've been down there again and again and again, the overwhelming majority of those who lived there didn't know much about the mounds. Many have never been there. The place of giants and human sacrifice. One artifact that was found, it's in the little museum there at the circle. One artifact in a younger archaeologist student was telling me all about it. They wanted to see if I wanted to buy one of the replicas. I did not want to. It is a looks like the face almost of a Mayan elder. I mean, it looks more Mayan to me. But there's a shaman, and he has a bear skin and a bear, the head of the bear, of course, over top of his head, on top of his head, over the top. And he has a chain around his neck. Now, as everybody else was describing to me the artifact, and we asked how old, they said, well, listen, This goes way beyond the Native Indians. This goes back 2,000 years or more, and that makes sense. They also affirm that human sacrifice was done in some sort of building in the middle of the circle, which is understandable. Everywhere you find the Nephilim architecture, Nephilim gathering, wherever they were, ultimately, human sacrifice is used for them to draw the powers they needed and wanted more powers, and they made connections. We have no idea of the grid, the connections, of the hundreds of years of their development prior to the flood, and then again afterwards. Well, we have so much to say about that, and the world is talking about it. More books, more materials. Unbelievable in the area of movies and gaming and toys. They got Nephilim toys now. We got a lot to say about it when we come down there on the 12th and 13th of September. And we want you to come. So if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, just scroll down a little bit. You're going to see the link to the site. And listen, bring a whole team down. And some have asked me before, why even talk about it? Just preach the gospel. Well, the truth is, it's the Word of God. We're to preach the whole counsel. We're to preach all of it. And in light of the most spiritually deceiving and growing times in human history, Christians staying silent, to me, that's dereliction of duty. We need to be, it shouldn't be the Nostradamuses and the psychics and the occult and the Gnostics and the rest and the secret societies all talking about Nephilim and giving their versions. We need to be able to be out there speaking to the world concerning the past, the present, and the future concerning this. And in that context, preach the gospel, as we've done, and as we've got to see, tremendous and wonderful salvations. Listen, I don't know about you, but salvation is the most powerful spiritual experience. It unites you to God. It brings cleansing. It brings the power of God, not finite demon spirits, not masquerading spirits, but God himself, the Spirit of God. And God then puts into you the Spirit of God, depositing the guarantee of the coming indestructible immortality. I mean, to know God, I mean, you either know the spirits and spirit guides, or you're an angry atheist, or maybe you're just out there, you don't know what's going on. Maybe you're just out there addicted to everything. Well, Jesus is the Savior. He's here. He loves you. Come to Christ wherever you are in all the world. I mentioned Mexico yesterday by providence. Today by design, because of the listeners. May God's power and grace in the name of the Lord Jesus come to you. And may God do great and powerful deliverances and even healing as we talk today and as you listen. Even if you listen down the road through the archives, because God is there. He's there tomorrow and 10 days from now. And so as you're listening 10 days from this live broadcast, I trust the living God, who's not bound by time, to do what he does, to save and to heal and to deliver and to help and to speak into our lives. This is the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, the website behind all of it, shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look on our website. The publisher did a great big thing, so there's like a 40% thing. We're not going to give commercials, but I just wanted you to know about that also. Tonight we are mentioning that a lot of individuals, you're going to hear more and more, you've probably already heard a lot of things, CERN and comets and meteors and blood moons and many other things, Jade Helm, so all kinds of things are converging here for September, and so there's a lot of talk about it being, economic collapse, everything else. But I'm going to bring this element in because it's not out in any report that I've seen, not at all. I want you to remember also, if you go back to Daniel chapter 8, when it comes to the rise and the fall of the Antichrist system, the fall of it, the bringing down is not by human hands. The rise of it is not by human hands. So we're talking about the most supernaturally engaged world ever in the history of fallen humanity. And so you've got on the one side the apex, the culmination, the broadest, largest, strongest on-hands presence of the demons and Satan, collective on a worldwide scale. And none of this occurs without it, not even Armageddon. And this is what is vital for everybody to understand. The end of days should be more clear to us than any other time in history, that it's not against flesh and blood. That all the powers that are behind is what's behind the developments. There's no other way for the dark side to get what it's going to get than to find the legal grounds in those willing, those being deceived, those are who are unaided. If you're not saved, you are unaided. And you are vulnerable. And you're vulnerable in so many different ways. What do you got? What do you got if you're lost? God wants to come into your life and save you and bring you back into relationship. And God calls you today. So what are you waiting for? Come to Christ, the Savior that loves you. Now, this next month, Marriage to the Beast, when you read about ritual dates, please understand that there's preparatory rituals before and other kinds of rituals afterwards. So if we say Marriage to the Beast, you know, the 7th or the 5th, Feast of the Beast on the 7th, don't forget the rituals prior, cleansing, ceremonial, preparation, and then afterwards. But when we mention these, we're talking about rituals that are going to be major gateways where there is going to be a gathering and whatever the coven. I mean, on the New Age aspect, on the seekers of those looking for the Orions, the UFOs, things like that, it's where they all talk about the veil growing thinner when it comes to October 30th, 31st, or Walpurgis. But I'm going to tell you that all the rituals, and here's where, again, most of us don't understand, as it was in Ezekiel chapter 8. So what we have right now is, in the last 30 years of our research, the sheer numbers, you got to understand worldwide, there are millions that have been through the Marriage of the Beast. And they means that there are millions of sub-created priestesses inside SRAs that know how to do this. And know how to summon. They know the twilight languages. They understand the power of the blood. They understand the smell of the blood. And, by the way, just heads up for SRAs. Sometimes this stuff can be triggering to you, I know. I get emails all the time that tell me about how your system goes down, you black out, you blank out. Well, because others inside hear something like this, they want to hear what's going on. They want to hear and assess things. May the power, protection, and extraordinary work of Jesus be there to help deliver you, heal you, restore you. Father, I pray it in Jesus' name. Now, when we think about, you know, what's coming in just a few weeks, this is prior to the conference down in Newark, and there's going to be rituals in Newark prior to this. And I have no question that there are those that are our enemies that are hiding the shadows. Again, sometimes they leak out, they come out, things like that. But they hide the shadows like in the days of Ezekiel 8. And they're going to do rituals and everything else. It's not as though God does not know. That's that verse in Hebrews 4 where nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And there is accountability. The blood cries out. There's no question about it. So in here, in this month of August, there's been rituals in the very beginning, August 4th, and you've got July and August with satanic and demon revels. But these are the rituals. Like, you go to church, you gather, you seek the Lord, and many times you go and you find God's power, you find God's comfort, you gather in his presence and you worship. On the other side of the fence, they're gathering. They're gathering out of obedience to Satan. They're gathering, you know, to seek the powers, and they need them. And they need demonic refreshment. They need demonic empowerment. They need more. And so they're going to seek more. And they're there to serve that dark side. And the truth is right now, I mean, I've been doing a lot of research on the YouTube videos of really dark sorcerers. Some of them young. Some of the guys are young, yet they know some of the dark rituals. there's every kind of ritual you can think of now being put out on YouTube, being demonstrated and offered and shown how it's done. I believe in some cases, along with the demonic interaction, demonic possession. Not going to point you to those. Don't think that's healthy. But with the Marriage of the Beast, Feast of the Beast, and then the Midnight Host on the 2021st, you have the Hands of Glory. Very massively powerful ritual. Now, I know I mentioned these in quickly yesterday. You got the fall equinox, full moon, new moon. So you have quite a few things in the month of September that are the gathering times. Three of which would involve blood and human sacrifice in the one case. So you're talking about many doors, and yet what we're not understanding is the sheer numbers. Again, I'll say in the United States, I believe, confidently we can say this now, every city, every location, every township, you'll have these rituals going on. And that's going to be worldwide. So there's a reason, if you understand the dark side, they can't advance. They can't accomplish what they're going to do. All the way back to Daniel chapter 8, you can read about it. You can also read about it in chapter 2 when it talks about the kingdom of God in Christ, he's coming, not by human hands, and that, you know, he's going to be here. And that concept is not by, it has nothing to do with just human empowerment. It has everything to do with the hand of God, whereas on the satanic side, it has everything to do with the dark powers. So if you read Daniel 8, verse 24, verse 25, you're going to see what I'm talking about, and that is going to correlate with Revelation 13, where it says the dragon gives him his power. That's vital to understand. So in verse 24, Daniel chapter 8 says this in reference to the Antichrist and that whole kingdom. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully. He shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. And he shall destroy many in their prosperity. And he shall rise against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without human means. And again, the clear idea here is without human hands. So when you see a prediction like this going back 2,600 years, and it's upon us now, I mean I call it the sequence of satanic evolution. And so this is by decade after decade after decade after development after development. And now, and I'm confident to tell you, and again, my opinion, the Antichrist has been born, the false prophet has been born, the system is in place. What we read about here in Daniel, or what we read about in Revelation 13, that system is in place. Now, it hasn't had its apocalypse, its unveiling to the world. It has to pre-exist before it can come as if out of nowhere. But the point that I'm making today is that it's not by his own power. So you read it in Daniel, right here, Daniel 8, and it's not by his own power. And then you can read about this also, because in Daniel 8, 24, referring to the Antichrist, the beast, the Theron, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Revelation 13, the dragon in the full force, the most manifested force of Satan's presence in the world collectively, he ushers out dunamis, he ushers out power for the Antichrist in the system. So it is absolutely conceived in, developed in, and then the bursting out and manifested in sheer dark powers. And I'm going to tell you again that the only way, you know, you talk about prayer meetings to advance the cause of Christ. Yes. You have a church that has no prayer. Don't expect any power. demonstrated. I mean, you got to go back to Acts chapter 4 to see the hand of God and the prayers that they prayed and the scriptures that they quoted and the power that came down, so much power of God that the power of God shook the building they were in. And they went out unleashing the word of God to everybody then. And so I'm going to say that all churches need to understand that we need to go back under the Lordship of Jesus and understand the laws of engagement. That kind of praying as we're gathering together will bring about the manifest presence of God. Now, the other side knows it. On their side, they need the manifest presence of the demons. They need power for themselves, for their groups, and for their collective global agenda. And if you and I agree that it's a collective global agenda, then please understand something very clearly. It is by the hundreds of thousands of those that are gathering in the E8, the Ezekiel 8 format, where there's the summoning of power, the shedding of blood. Well, the powers come, the powers will be received, the powers will be released in many different ways, assignments and so forth. Those powers bring, they're there to come and bring destruction, influence, hurt. They can blind people, make people sick, kill. But also the powers are there to enable the servants of Satan, the real Luciferian, to give them supernatural abilities. They're all about seeing their own lives transmuted. And advanced. So they're going to look at themselves as elite, advanced with abilities. Well, they're going to have abilities that are going to be counterfeit to, but that parallel, though, the giftings of the Spirit of God. They're going to have abilities. They do. The ones that we've engaged, they do. And the practitioners, they do. They know how. Now, I want to give you 8 things concerning the demons and what they can do. And you can go back to the scriptures, take a look at this. And I want you to know that the practitioners, and I'm talking about even those in Santeria, Palo, Abaqua, Voodoo, Voodon, Candomblé, you can go through all these lists. You understand now the practitioners are here on a global scale by the millions. And it's vital, again, because even the growth of those in the area of astral projection, and a remote influence. They know it's not by human hands. Ed Dames has acknowledged that it's not just human, that they rely on the presence and what's there in the Hall of the Records, the Akashic Records, and I believe that is the second heavenlies. And so they have the entities, you know, and I don't know about you, but if you understand do you really realize Satan is real? Think about Matthew 24. Satan engages Jesus, and there's an actual going back and forth. There's a temptation. There is a quoting a scripture. Something is very revealing when Satan quotes scripture. I mean, it would be clear that it would be that he doesn't want to do it correctly. But I also believe he can't. I believe the Spirit of God can bring about the Word of God correctly. The Spirit of God in believers can bring about the Word of God powerfully and correctly. But I believe that when it comes to demons and Satan, when they're handling Scripture, because of their very nature, it will never come out. It'll always come out twisted, out of context, to be used in a wrong way to harm individuals. That's what's true about that side. Let me take a look over here to the right as we're talking tonight, because I know that there's times when there's major influence. And by the way, don't forget on Tuesday night, tonight we'll be there, 8 p.m. tonight, 2 hours online, the live spiritual warfare class. Tonight we include, we're going to be dealing with demons and when they talk. And we'll talk about that tonight in the 2-hour class. But here's the 8 things that demons can bring effect to. You can see it number one, you can take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. I believe the demonic realm, Satan himself, can blind the minds of unbelievers. And that word means the idea of blowing smoke. It has the ability. They have the ability to cloud perception, to literally blind an ability, the ability of individuals to perceive, to discern, to see, to open up to. Well, in that context, to that verse, the blinding is to keep them from seeing Christ. That's the whole goal. So you got to understand, as you're out evangelizing in the world that we live in, that's the front line of God to share the gospel, which is powerful. The goal of the other side is to blind individuals from seeing it. So it is a spiritual battle. And soul winning needs, always needs, massive, just faith-filled, covered, powerful prayers. And the gospel has the power to penetrate the dark side in every way, but you got to understand the battle is there. There is that battle. And so he blinds minds, and I think that's part of the end of days. This seduction, this deception involves the blinding. I believe that it involves the idea of even if Satan can keep a person from thinking about God, preoccupying somebody, just absolutely distracting them long enough until they lose their soul. Satan doesn't want to just preoccupy. He does want to use people and get into their lives. That's how it is with the demons. And that's how it is in the prophetic revelation concerning the end of days. And that's what we see in the streets. We see Mexican police officers going to shops where practitioners, a Polero, a Santero, a Bocur, you know, all kinds of, to seek powers to guard themselves, protect themselves, and seek blessings from the demonic realm. Number two, the demons can affect your body and bring sickness. Now, you could read about this in Matthew where Jesus healed an individual and the demon went out. It said the demon left him. When Jesus healed him, the demon left. So the demon caused it. In the book of Job, there's no question about Satan being able to create devastating sicknesses on Job's body. And I believe that there are rituals, without question, that are used to create sicknesses. I mean, there are mind control spells and hexes and the rituals to summon demons and send them hexes and spells and so forth to bring, you know, physical boils and things to your body and blindedness and physical blindedness and hair falling out. I mean, you got to understand how deep and broad. I mean, when practitioners, they can be very specific. And so when anybody is hit by a demonic assignment of sickness, it kind of strikes and it's kind of uncanny and you can't get in, you know, no doctors can get to it or whatever else. And, you know, there's no medication in the world that's going to stop a demonically caused sickness. So let me say it quickly here right now. It's okay to check things out. If you say, well, I've got a sickness, I've had this sickness, I've had this infirmity. You know what? Go before the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver you from any demons that are causing any sicknesses. Go before the Lord to ask him to deliver you from any things that have been sinned against you. Listen, you may be out of work because somebody that knows these powers did a spell, did a hex, did a ritual against you to get you out of the way so they can take your position. Somebody doesn't like you, they can use these powers to summon and send. And there's no question about it. They can bring, you know, sicknesses. If you look at the book of Job, the sicknesses, the things that occurred to Job's body came directly from Satan in attack. And so I think that it's important for me to say right now for anybody, and I know there are physical causes also, environmental causes, things that we eat, things like that. Our bodies are getting older and older and older and older, and sooner or later the body's giving out too. But if there's any sense that the sickness has come and it's from, you know, demons from Satan, then you need to seek the Lord. You need to ask him to come and deliver you. You need to say, under the authority that you have in Christ, to rebuke. Maybe have some other believers pray. Get Holy Spirit discernment. But if you've got the Spirit of God saying, hey, this is from the enemy, and over the years I have experienced the ritual release and sending and assignment of attacks. And I can only tell you one time, I'm going to tell you one time, federal officer's wife, deep, again, a chosen one in the satanic sense. The powers were sent. And I was sick. I told the story before. I was a very, it was a weird sickness. I was internally, like everything was, all the strength left me. It was like a, I was inside. There was like a total shaking inside of my body. But I knew. And some of the chosen ones and multiples and others and prayer intercessors came up to me after a service. And I had to sit on a chair in order to preach the sermon. And they said there's an assignment. And so when I went home and slept for a while, because whatever it was, the signal, whatever it was, I mean, I was out sleeping. When I got up, I realized, hey, I've got to go pray this off. And I did. I went upstairs and began to pray it off. And in the praying of it off, just like two Christian leaders in Connecticut, when I was doing the conference that was bringing exposure to Bohemian Groves, the real reason for the ritual. Well, the individual that stood up and yelled and said, you know, we must cut your head off, we must kill you, and that kind of thing, they were taken out of the room, but then they went into the twilight, the satanic languages, and they were releasing curses and demonic presence against the two Christian leaders, both of which got sick, both of which realized later they had to pray it off. The way they got delivered from that sickness, they had to rebuke the demonic behind the assignment and the spell or hex or whatever it was, and then ask the Lord, and they had to literally pray it off, and they were delivered as they prayed it off. So sicknesses can, and you can seek the Lord about this. Don't forget you have the Spirit of God. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. No greater leader, guide, teacher. You know, he knows how to illuminate. He knows what's going on. Nothing gets past the Spirit of God. So when you see the Lord, the Spirit of God, just simply tell you what it is, then, you know, if it's of the enemy, then you need to come against it. You need to rebuke it. You need to seek the Lord over that and find your deliverance in the Lord. Number three, demons can literally take over a person. There's no question about that. And I do believe that that where there are vulnerable individuals, where there are people that have no aid, they're not saved, and people around them are doing things and influencing them demonically, and their life is being opened up, and they open up doors. Think about Mark chapter 5, the man that was so demonically possessed that he was naked, cutting himself in the tombs, howling out. We don't have anything there that tells us exactly how they got in, but they got in. And there's no question, we're reading about reports everywhere of people attacking people, raping people, and growling and attacking police officers and out in the middle of the night and, demonic power in their life. And and when they kind of come under diamonazoid is the word, when they come under complete possession, that is total control, they can be led to attack people. Think about the book of Acts, where the seven sons of Sheba, these guys go in, they're not saved, they don't have Christ at all, but they go in and they're talking about things, and the demon knows, and the demons say, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And the demon in the demonized man guides, I mean, it just empowers him to attack. The demon in the person ripped their clothes off, attacked them, they ran out bleeding, screaming. I mean, they went out running. They were attacked, and I'll say this here shortly, demon-possessed, demon-empowered individuals faster, stronger, and can be very violent. And a police officer can order them, people can yell at them, you can do all kinds of things. None of that has effect on a demon. It's like the guy in Florida where the officer finally had to shoot the man again and again and again because the demonic possession was so great, the guy was eating the face off of the other man. The fourth element is demons can stop, they can hinder. The First Thessalonians, we read about Paul saying that he had intent to come in ministry. He's going to go do some ministry, but Satan stopped him. Now, through the years, there's times that I can see where Satan hindered things and stopped things, but I want you to know that Satan, the demonic realm, can hinder, can stop. And there are spells of destruction. There are those that know how to summon demons and send them against Christians to hinder them, to stop them, to bring confusion to them, to bring... So when believers are feeling inordinate, I mean, just overwhelming, you're feeling, you know, attacked, you're feeling oppression, you're feeling confusion. God's not the author of confusion. So if you're feeling the enemy coming to attack and do these things, he could do it on his own, but he uses individuals, and yet there are rituals and spells and hexes that become the legal gateways that other people use to summon and release. I mean, I want you to think in terms of somebody that has a dog on a leash that is like barking and barking and wanting to come after you, and they unleash the leash, unlock it, and say, sick 'em. In the demonic realm, when it comes to the summoning, the appeasing of the demons, especially with blood, and then the assignment, the ordering, the sending, they understand targets. Revelation 16 shows very clearly the dark side knows how to target when they release and send demons. They're not doing it randomly. And so you may have been assigned, you know, you may have been targeted. And again, that just comes as a believer, you know, you can be shielded by God's power. 1 Peter chapter 1, you can have the armor of God. You got to have the armor of God on if you're going to make a stand. But in the day and hour in which we live, and as we go into this next year, you got to understand you're going to need to expect. There's going to be more people are going to come to your church. I won't give any names here tonight, not at all, but I'm going to mention an email I just got. Somebody wrote me the other day and asked me to look into a matter for them concerning a church background, and so I did, and but then they wrote me back after I sent them what I know about a particular kind of church and denomination, whatever. They sent back and said that they have a relative that has been clearly targeted. Can practitioners target your church from down the street? Can people in covens and other places know about you and target? Just some of you know about the high warlock of the West out there that targeted us and our family and put it on YouTube. It's still out there. Zero effect. Thousands begin to pray, and you got to understand, if you do nothing, you can be struck. You got to understand that. If you don't have the armor of God on, and why did Jesus give the authority? Not just, I don't believe just to cast out demons from the demonized individuals, which that is primary. But I believe to use in our own lives, to clear the air around us, to rebuke demonic assignments and whatever else. So if you sit down sometime with a piece of paper, your Bible open, and say, Lord, I'm just going to ask you, Lord Jesus, right now, is there any assignment? Are there any generational familiar spirits from my family line that have affected me and my family? Are there any doorways that I've opened that I let demons come into that has affected me and my family? My family and I. Is there anybody sending? Anybody doing things? Anybody that have, you know, even left demonized objects, ritual objects and things. So I'm going to tell you again. Number one, demons can and Satan can blind minds. Number two, they can make the body. They can bring sicknesses. Three, they can take over and possess individuals. Four, they can stop and hinder even believers in ministry at times. Number five, let me see, is that five? Number five, they can afflict by assignment. What do I mean? Here's what I mean. Revelation 16, out of the mouth of the dragon, the Antichrist, the false prophet, demons are sent, and they are sent to their targets. And they're sent with the assignment to gather them for the great day of God Almighty, Armageddon. So the entire reason for a planetary release of demonic presence, gather the kings of the earth who are already part of the satanic you know, commitment, though, and then gather them for Revelation 19:19. Of course, they're going to be blown out of the waters as Christ descends, but that's the issue. Can demons be sent to trigger? Can demons be sent to activate? Can demons be sent from a coven to another individual to entice them, to get them to do something? What about demons sent an assignment of lust, an assignment of sex, an assignment of destruction of funds? Assignments after your family, assignments, yeah, yes. Assignments after the pastor, the church, right? It can be done. And if you're a prayer warrior already, if you're already knowing what Colossians 4:2 is all about, you know, be devoted to prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. Well, the word being watchful, Gregoruo, looking for Holy Spirit, looking for guiding, you know, your spiritual Holy Spirit lit eyes and discernment, looking for the impending danger. Of whom? That word is used in 1 Peter 5, 7, in reference to the devil, and 8, in reference to Satan. So, in your prayers, as I worship, as I praise God, as I worship God, as I pray for individuals, as I seek answers, you know, we're praying. I have somebody I'm praying for to be healed completely. I have somebody else praying for them to be delivered, praying for multiples to be delivered. Went to Vadelsburg Castle in the Hall of the Dead to pray for SRAs in a larger way, and pray for Germans to revival, and pray for so many things that I believe God indicated that will, that those prayers will have its effect. It's great power in prayer. Now, a church that we visited Sunday, there's a lot of good things about it, but they're extraordinarily weak and anemic in the area of prayer. A 6-second basic prayer of just for the basic service, and one right around the offering time. And I think there was like a closing thing the pastor might have done too, a couple seconds. Is that power in prayer? Not a possibility. The entire body of Christ should be led and guided in major intercession. That is the command of Timothy chapter 2. First of all, with urgency, the entire body is to just be powerful and explosive in its praying. And you can, and you know what? You're praying for people to be saved, healed, delivered, helped. God's intervention, praying for missionaries. I mean, think about churches now. If all of it is 6 seconds, 12 seconds of prayer, where's the massive intercession for the missionaries? For the evangelism, you know, and all the rest, let alone the fact that we have authority given to us, that every church has the potential, every single time it gathers, to raise its voice to collectively and pray against all the dark powers in the city, against Satan's workings, you know, and just unleashing against the dark side. Why not? All things are possible to them that believe. Nothing's impossible to the one that believes. And so great devastating effects can occur against the kingdom of darkness as you're praying for the advance of the kingdom of God. And again, a demonstration. There's no question about it. Just like in Acts chapter 4. The power of God should be an experienced part of the body of Christ again and again and again and again. We should at times be absolutely astounded by the presence and power of God in the context of the winning of souls, the advancing of the kingdom, and breaking down and destroying of the dark side. I have no problem wanting the dark side to be destroyed. 1 John 3:8. Take a read a little bit later. Now, I want to mention the sixth thing, I think, here. Demons can give powers. If you think in terms as a Christian, there's the Spirit of God gives charismatic giftings, and you read about those. I'm going to tell you this. I believe that the dark side, demons seek to counterfeit all of those. I've met chosen ones, satanic chosen ones, where they have powers of telekinesis, clairvoyance. You know, they have powers to bring some kinds of healing, to release powers, to do things. They have abilities. They have power to get out of their body, like into astral projection and do things. So they've got powers. And again, it's demonic empowerments. I've met a few over the years when we preach the gospel, only a few, that did not want to give up their demonic powers in exchange for the saving grace, power, and powers of God. They chose the finite over against the infinite. They chose the dark side over against the Savior. This is why we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They could have been. They could have been. For someone tonight, that's a warning. For someone tonight, that's you, as you have not opened the door of your heart to Christ, and you know he's convicted you. You know he's spoken to you. If you continue to slam the door on the Spirit of grace, if you insult the Spirit of grace, you can expect judgment over your sins and the loss of your soul, and you be lost forever. I take no pleasure in that, but that God wants to save you and provided for you. But if you lose your soul and you go to hell, that's on your head. Counterfeit powers, I have seen over the last 30 years or so, 35, 40 years almost now, there's no question about the other side developing actual powers in people. Now, we talked about in the king of Moab in the Old Testament that had even weaponized the dark powers. He weaponized by human sacrifice, the shedding of blood of his own son, to let the powers be drawn and fall upon the Moabite soldiers. When that occurred, the power that fell on the Moabite soldiers, they did defeat Israel. Temporarily, but they did defeat him. So again, I want you to understand how real this is. And that when there is demonstrative, manifest demonic powers at work, then there needs to be a response with the manifest, direct power of God. That's when you're going to see the power of God bring destruction to the other side. That's when you're going to see the victory. And that's when you're going to see, and it's not just about protection. I don't want to be just protected. I want to be able, you know, to stand and pray against the dark powers, to run into battle. It does involve, ultimately, the saving of souls and lives. And we can never, never, never forget that's what it's all about. So I don't believe that there are those who are just, well, they're exorcists, they do deliverance, that's all they do. No, the disciples did soul winning. That included deliverance. That included healing, that included feeding the poor, that included giving clothes to those that didn't have, that included even housing at times. But the centrality, the big centrality, is the huge, astounding gospel and salvation that God provided in Christ. Let me read another one here to you again. I just mentioned the, you know, second, you know, Kings 3, chapter 3. The and even in Mark 5, demons can give strength. They have the ability to give power, strength. I mean, literally make a person stronger, faster. In some cases, in our own dealings with individuals, they don't have to sleep much. They have a supernatural dark side. I'm going to give you a subjective, what I've seen over the years where there's individuals that really allow the demons to use them and work in them. It's like their bodies, it's like their very beings age. It's almost like meth. It's like they age and they're affected negatively physiologically. Whereas I believe the power of the Spirit of God affects you positively, gives life to your mortal body, that when you're filled with the Spirit of God and God is operative in giving you strength, that it's life and health and strength and, in a real sense, youth to your own very physical body. Believer, your body is a temple of the Spirit of God. Honor His presence within. Know that you receive all by faith, but God's power and grace and might is manifest in obedience to the Word of God. spiritual gifts and the power of the spiritual gifts is manifest when they're used. The clothing of power that God gives to believers is demonstrated most when believers are being the kind of faith-filled, spirit-filled witnesses of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. I don't know of anything in my life more than the direct salvation and being filled with the Spirit of God, and then in the context of ministry, the power of God in the saving of souls, the joy of the Lord. There's such a lifting. There is in the context of worship. I've seen people get saved in the middle of worship services that God's presence and power was so deep and awesome right there in the context of it, they wanted to come forward. They wanted just to get saved on the spot. One man, we were doing songs and hymns, and God's power was there. He was a soldier. And I can remember at the very close of the song, he just stepped out of the aisle and he just began to cry and burst out that he needed saved right now. And he got led to Christ right then and there. Right then and there. Listen, how are you doing with your life right now? This is Russ Dizdar from the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. And I'm telling you that nobody loves you like God loves you. Nobody knows you like God knows you. And nobody desires you. If you already know him, you got to understand all the truths, the promises. Feed yourself spiritually on the promises and truths of the Word of God. Every day he's the same. Every day he's there. Every day he's there to hear you. Every day you're called to come before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help you in times of need. To those hiding in the shadows, may God demonstrate to you by his power and by his grace how real he is, how big he is, and how little deceiving and destructive the demons you have are. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the demons and the demonic powers over you, commanding them in their works, in their assignments, their abilities to be bound and destroyed. Come to Christ. Give him your life. Turn to the living Christ, soldier. Turn to the living Christ. As you're there in that manufacturing plant, as you're there in that, listen, wherever you are, the summoning of God, you know what that is? You know the Spirit of God summoning, calling, and drawing, and that's God speaking to you. Come out of the darkness, out of the sin. Come to Christ where relief, rest for your soul, cleansing, and the life of God comes in. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, shatterthedarkness.net on the website. Don't forget Tuesday nights. If you miss Tuesday nights or any other night, on the website, to the right where it says free courses, the one on spiritual warfare, there's got to be all collectively, there's got to be about 80 hours of MP3 teachings. They're all free. Worldwide, about 17 million of all those MP3s being downloaded. From all over the world, blessings to you in the name of the living Christ. Blessings to you in this hour that we're living in. Though it's dark and it can be very shaky and chaotic, you and I are to be the light shining. Remember 2 Peter? Do you remember that verse? Verse 19? The light shining in a dark place. That's you as a believer. Whether that's the apartment complex, the neighborhood, the workplace you're at, the middle, whatever land you're in, all the way there in Korea from a friend that wrote to us, all the way from Spain and Poland and the Ukraine and Russia, from Germany, from the Scandinavian nations, from the Dominican Republic, all over the world, we just love you. Keep us in your prayers, and good night.